We're still on Doxa, so we're looking at Doxa.
Which now they want Doxa.
Understand, for those of you that may not know, okay, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, the New Testament is Aramaic and Greek.
For jer, der ikke ved, så det Gamle Testament skrevet på hebraisk, og det Nye Testament skrevet på aramæisk.
There's a little bit of Aramaic and Babylonian in Daniel's book.
Der en lille smule aramæisk og babylonsk i Daniels bog.
But primarily it is Hebrew.
Men primært så er den skrevet på hebraisk.
But we as Bible scholars have the beautiful advantage.
Men som bibelskolelever har vi den smukke fordel,
that in 333 BC,
at 333 efter Kristus,
BC, before Christ,
før Kristus,
Alexander the Great went to destroy Israel.
Så tog Alexander den store ud for at ødelægge Israel.
As he was at the gates of Jerusalem to ready to destroy it.
Da han stod ved Jerusalems port klar til at ødelægge den.
The high priest comes running out to him.
Så løb øverste præsten ud til ham.
Says, wait, I just need to show you this prophecy about you.
Så siger han, vent, jeg er bare nødt til at vise dig det her profeti om dig.
By our God in this holy book.
Af vores Gud i den her hellige bog.
And the high priest shows Alexander the Great the prophecies of Daniel about him.
Og hvad hedder det? Ypperste præsten viser Alexander den store Daniels profeti omkring ham.
And he was so overwhelmed by it.
Og han blev så overvældet af det her.
You know Daniel's prophecy about the golden, the statue of gold and silver and bronze. And
Daniels
so on.
Profeti om statuen med guldhovedet og sølv og bronze. Og
that he was so overwhelmed by it.
Og han blev så overvældet af
det her. He became a believer in God.
At han omvendte sig til Gud.
More so.
Endnu mere.
He commanded that this book that the Jews had,
så befalede han den bog som jøderne havde,
be translated into Greek,
skulle oversættes til græsk,
so that the whole world had the Bible or the Old Testament.
Så hele verden ville have det Gamle Testamente.
So everybody would know what God thought about him and how great he was.
Så alle ville vide hvad Gud synes om ham og hvor stor han var.
That's the history behind it.
Det er historien bag det her.
So sometimes it's hard to get Greek and Hebrew, Old and New Testament, to marry together.
Og nogle gange er det svært at få græsk og det hebraiske gamle og nye testament til at arbejde sammen.
But when you have the Old Testament in Greek also,
men når du nu har det gamle testament på græsk også,
you get very powerfully the real meaning of things.
Så får du meget stærkt den rigtige mening af tingene.
So at the time of Jesus,
så på Jesu tid,
the Hebrew version of the scriptures didn't exist in the temple.
Så var den hebraiske version af Bibelen ikke i templet.
It was all in Greek.
Det hele stod på græsk.
That's why Jesus spoke Aramaic and Greek.
Det var derfor Jesus han talte aramæisk og græsk.
So just to help you understand, when we talk about Greek Old Testament, it's because it's the same there. We have the same words going.
Så når vi taler om det græske gamle testament, så vi har de samme ord, de samme ting der går igen.
Alexander the Great gave us that.
Alexander den store gav os det her.
You know, this isn't a fairy tale. This is history.
Det her det er ikke et eventyr. Det her det er historie.
So doxa and kabod is that weighty presence of God that's powerful.
Så doxa og kabod, den her vægt, den her nærvær af Gud.
Now the Bible talks about that God's glory comes, as I said earlier, in at different levels.
So take that one again.
God's glory can be manifest in different levels of power.
Så Guds herlighed den manifesterer sig på ulike, på forskellige niveauer.
We know God is everywhere. He's omnipresent.
Vi ved at Gud han er overalt.
But God isn't so weighty in here right now that we have to fall on the floor and can't do anything.
Men Guds nærvær er ikke så trykken her endelig nu, så vi er nødt til at falde på jorden.
We'd like it to be like that.
Vi kunne godt tænke os det var sådan.
But it's not just at this moment.
Men ikke kun på det her tidspunkt.
But God's presence is here and you can feel it.
Men Guds nærvær er her.
For those of you that are sensitive enough to it.
Hvis du er følsom nok over for det.
There's a story.
Der er en historie
from the 1940s in Australia.
Fra 1940'erne i Australien.
An English preacher called Smith Wigglesworth.
En engelsk prædikant som hed Smith Wigglesworth.
Some of you might have heard of him. He goes to preach at the pastors' convention in Australia.
Nogle af jer har måske hørt om ham. Han tog til Australien for at tale på en pastors' convention.
And one afternoon in one of the churches there, he has all the pastors in a room for a prayer meeting.
Og en eftermiddag på mødet der, så havde han alle præsterne i et rum for et bønnemøde.
And as they're praying, one of the Australian pastors gets very excited.
Og som de beder, så er der en af de her australske pastorer, som bliver meget begejstret.
And he says, God, fill us with the fullness of your glory.
Gud, fyld os med din fylde.
And Smith started to laugh.
Og Smith, han begynder at grine.
And the pastor got a little offended. Why are you laughing at my prayer?
Og den her pastor, han blev lidt fornærmet. Hvorfor griner du af min bøn?
And he says, because you don't know what you're asking.
Siger han, fordi du ikke ved, hvad det er, du beder om.
You see, you can't handle the fullness of God's glory.
Du kan ikke håndtere Guds herligheds fylde.
And a lot of the pastors got offended.
Og masser af pastoren blev fornærmet.
We are pastors.
Vi er pastorer.
We spend time in the presence of God every day.
Vi bruger tid i Guds nærvær hele tiden.
And he laughed even more. Presence of God.
Og han begyndte at grine endnu mere.
You spend no time in the presence of God.
I bruger ikke tid i Guds nærvær.
And they got really angry with him, some of them.
Så blev de virkelig gale på ham, nogle af dem.
And he says, okay, he says, I'm going to show you what the presence of God is like.
Så siger Smith, okay, jeg skal vise jer, hvad Guds nærvær det er.
He says, if it gets too much for you, the door's over there.
Så hvis det bliver for meget for jer, så er døren derovre.
He says, everybody shut your eyes.
Alle sammen, luk jeres øjne.
And he just shuts his eyes and he raises his hands and he just says a prayer of two words.
Og så lukker alle deres øjne, og han lukker sine øjne, og han løfter hænderne, og beder han to ord.
He says, Jesus, come.
Jesus, kom.
And as soon as he said the word come,
og det øjeblik, han siger ordet kom,
kabod came, the await of God's glory.
Kom kabod, Guds herligheds vægt.
Some of the pastors described it almost like as if he dropped a big sack of flour.
Og nogle af præsterne, de beskriver som om, at man tabte en stor sæk korn.
It came down,
mel.
And when it hit the floor, it just went.
Og det falder ned, og det rammer gulvet, og så
like a dust everywhere.
Og som støv, der var overalt.
For many of the pastors, they could not stay in the room.
Og mange af de her pastorer kunne ikke blive i det her rum.
They walked out crying.
De gik ud grædende.
It was too strong for them.
Det var for stærkt for dem.
It was weighty.
Det var
it was kabout. It was powerful.
Det var kabout. Det var kraft.
They had to go wait outside the church hall.
De var nødt til at gå ud og vente uden for kirken.
He opens his eyes.
Han åbner sine øjne.
And he looks around.
Og han kigger rundt.
The guys he was arguing with had left.
De mænd, han havde argumenteret med, de havde forladt på stedet.
And he goes, well done, brothers, you're still here.
Og så siger han, godt gået, drenge, I er her stadigvæk.
Eller, let's brødre. Go to another level.
Lad os tage til næste niveau.
Shut your eyes.
Luk jeres øjne.
He says, Jesus, come.
Og siger han, Jesus, kom.
And God's presence came even heavier.
Og Guds nærvær kom endnu stærkere.
Most of the guys were crying on the floor. Some of them were crawling out.
De fleste, de lå og græd på gulvet. Nogen kravlede ud af rummet.
The guys that were outside had to go out into the car park.
Dem der allerede var gået ud, de var nødt til at gå endnu længere væk.
They couldn't wait in the entrance.
De kunne ikke vente ud i entréen.
It was too strong for them.
Det var for stærkt der.
He did this a number of times.
Han gjorde det et par gange.
And he was left with five pastors.
Og til sidst var der kun fem mænd tilbage.
All of which were on the floor.
Som alle fem lå på gulvet.
He goes, well done, brothers.
Og siger, godt gået, drenge, brødre.
Let's go one more time.
Lad os tage det en gang til.
Jesus, come.
Jesus, kom.
There was a whole quietness.
Og der blev stille.
Four of the men had crawled out.
Fire mændene var kravlet ud.
Crying.
Grædende.
Couldn't stay there. There was one man left.
Der var én tilbage.
A Welshman.
En valiser.
Of course.
Selvfølgelig.
Who'd emigrated from Wales with his parents. He was not. He'd just been ordained as a pastor, 19 years old.
Som var emigreret fra Wales med sine forældre. Han var lige blevet ordineret pastor, 19 år gammel.
And Smith opens his eyes. He says, revival's going to come through you.
Og Smith, han åbner sine øjne og siger, vækkelsen kommer
gennem dig. Because you have learned to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty.
Og hvile i Guds, skyggen af Guds nærvær.
You walk in the fiery coals of the Father.
Du vandrer i Guds nærvær. Guds.
Your body is used to the presence of God.
Din krop er vant til Guds nærvær.
At this level.
På det her niveau.
Do you want to tell your son a little bit more about that?
Yeah.
That was in the late 40s.
Det var de her sene 40'ere.
About 4 years ago.
For 4 år siden.
We were in Wales,
with
the Bible school students.
Med bibelskoleeleverne.
And I was due to preach at a particular church one night.
Jeg skulle prædike i en vis kirke en aften.
And a pastor from a church about 80 kilometers away heard that I was home in Wales. He wanted me to come and preach in his church.
Og en pastor fra en kirke 80 meter væk havde hørt jeg var tilbage i Wales og ville have at komme og prædike i hans kirke.
I said I can't. I'm preaching. I've got this appointment here.
Jeg siger, det er ked af, det kan jeg ikke, for jeg har en aftale i den her kirke.
And he did the old spiritual blackmail trick, you know.
Og så gjorde han en åndelig bestikkelsesting er.
But God has told me you are to preach in our church.
Siger, men Gud har sagt, at du skal tale i min kirke.
And that's dirty tricks.
Det er beskidte tricks.
But it was true, because as soon as he said it, I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, go.
Men det øjeblik, han sagde det, følte Helligånden sige til mig.
So I spoke to Dave, the pastor of the church. I said, I'll get one of the Bible students to preach here. I've got to go over there, and I don't know why.
Så siger jeg til Dave, som er pastor i kirken, siger han, ja, jeg får en af bibelskoleeleverne til at prædike her, fordi jeg er nødt til at den her kirke. Jeg ved ikke hvorfor, men sådan er det.
So I go over.
Så jeg tog det over.
And as the meeting started, the sermon that I had, I couldn't preach.
Og som mødet begynder, så den prædiken, der var forberedt, den kunne jeg ikke prædike.
God just told me to teach about the levels of the glory of God.
Gud han sagde bare, at du skal undervise om niveauerne i Guds herlighed.
And as I began to teach, it came.
Og som jeg begyndte at undervise, så kom det.
There came a level, and there was a manifestation across the meeting where people were crying or on their knees or lying on the floor.
Der kom et niveau, der kom et nærvær af Gud, og mennesker blev mødt, lå på gaden.
And it just got heavier and heavier
og tungere
and heavier
og tungere.
And that meeting started at 6 o'clock. 10 o'clock at night, it's still going on.
Det møde startede klokken 6, og klokken 10 var det stadigvæk i gang.
I said to the pastor, I have to go because I have Bible students in 4 different churches across these valleys. The pastors are going to be furious that I haven't come and picked them up.
Og jeg sagde til pastoren, jeg er nødt til at køre nu, fordi jeg har bibelskoleelever på i 4 forskellige kirker rundt omkring i dalen der, og præsterne, de bliver gale, når jeg kommer og henter dem.
And I'd spoken about the story about Smith Wigglesworth.
Og jeg talte om den her historie om Smith Wigglesworth.
And as I'm going out the door,
og som jeg går ud af
døren, an old man gets out of his seat and grabs on me and says, wait.
Så kommer der en gammel mand, som tager fat i mig fra sædet der og siger, vent.
He says, I have to tell you this.
Jeg er nødt til at fortælle dig det her.
That young man in Australia.
Den unge mand i Australien.
That was me.
Det var mig.
He said, last week.
Sidste uge.
In our prayer meeting in church.
I vores bønnemøde i kirken.
God told me and the eldership of our church, I was to come back to Wales.
Så sagde Gud til ældste råd og mig i kirken, at jeg skulle komme tilbage til Wales.
And I was, they were to find me. He was to find me.
Og at han skulle finde mig.
Now I preached at his church back in Sydney, Australia, in 1997.
Jeg havde talt i hans kirke tilbage i Sydney i 97.
He has a church of thousands.
Det er en kirke på tusinder.
I think he's 89 years old.
Han er 89 år gammel.
An 89-year-old man took a 24-hour flight from Sydney back to Wales to find me.
En 89-årig mand tog et 24 timers fly fra Sydney til Wales for at finde
mig. I hadn't lived in Wales since I was 16 years old, 21 years old.
Og jeg havde ikke boet i Wales siden jeg var 21.
He had no idea where to find me.
Han havde ingen idé om hvor han skulle finde mig.
But this church that I was asked to preach in,
men den kirke som jeg blev bedt om at tale i,
was his home church.
Var hans hjemkirke.
He gave up. He couldn't find me all week. He'd been looking me. He couldn't find anything.
Han havde søgt efter mig en hel uge og havde bare givet op.
And then, because he was going to fly back on the Monday, he heard that I was to be the preacher that night.
Og han skulle flytte tilbage om mandagen, så hører han, at jeg skulle tale om aftenen.
And he said this.
Og så sagde han det her.
He said, that same anointing that Smith Wigglesworth prayed on me, I now pray on you.
Og siger han, den samme salve, som Smith Wigglesworth bad ned over mig, den vil jeg nu bede ned over dig.
I have no memory.
Jeg mindes ikke.
Of how I got home that night.
Hvordan jeg kom hjem den aften.
I remember getting in the car crying.
Jeg mindes, jeg kom ind i bilen grædende.
But the presence of God was so strong.
Men Guds nærvær var så stærk.
That when I got to the first pastor's house.
At jeg kom til den første pastors hus.
We just stayed on the floor in his living room till 12 o'clock midnight.
Så blev vi på gulvet i hans dagligstue til klokken 12.
He had gone round and collected all the other Bible students up.
Han havde hentet alle de andre bibelskoleelever.
And it was so strong, the presence of God. God did something in us that night.
Og Guds nærvær var så stærk. Gud gjorde noget ved os den aften.
And he'd arranged that whole thing.
Og han havde arrangeret det hele.
That we experience his glory.
Så vi ville opleve hans herlighed.
God is wanting to do something.
Gud ønsker at gøre noget.
With his glory in these days.
Med hans herlighed i den her tid.
But I describe it, I teach it like this.
Men jeg underviste det på den her måde.
The glory of God is like a bath of hot water.
Guds herlighed
or cold, it doesn't matter.
Guds herlighed er som et bad af vand.
You
know, varmt vand.
When you get in it at first.
Når du går ind i det til at starte med.
Like, it's hot or cold.
Så er det varmt eller koldt.
I was trying to get in Carsten's swimming pool last week.
Jeg forsøgte at komme ind i Carsten's swimming pool den anden uge.
And I'm like,
og jeg lød som en lille pige.
It taking my breath. Yeah. I can't deny it.
you did.
At first,
til at starte med,
it was painful.
Var det smertefuldt?
It was uncomfortable.
Det var ubehageligt.
I wasn't used to it.
Jeg var ikke vant til det.
My body wasn't used to that temperature.
Min krop var ikke vant til den temperatur.
But as I, well, about 10-15 minutes, it took me to get in.
Det tog 10 minutter.
Each step down the ladder.
Et skridt ned ad stigen, og et skridt ned ad stigen.
Yeah, it was, but he'd laughing his head off. When I got in.
Men da jeg kom i.
Oh, this is lovely.
Ah, det er skønt det her.
It was really nice.
Det var virkelig fantastisk.
And sometimes our body's just not used to some of those levels of God that there is.
Og nogle gange så vores krop bare ikke vant til de niveauer af Guds herlighed.
And we have to train ourselves.
Og vi nødt til at træne os selv.
We have to come in to where it's borderline with us.
Hvor vi kommer ind, hvor det er grænsefald, at vi rent faktisk klarer det.
Because if we keep pushing that boundary.
For hvis vi bliver med at skubbe den der grænse.
It gets comfortable.
Så bliver det
comfortable. Now imagine this church.
Forestil jer den her kirke.
That we get to a level.
At de kommer til et niveau.
Where we are so comfortable.
Hvor vi er så komfortable.
But to those people out there.
Men dem der er udenfor.
It's so extremely powerful.
At det er så ekstremt kraftfuldt.
That point is when the glory of God starts breaking out and revival starts.
Det er på det punkt at Guds herlighed kommer og
it starts with us.
Det starter med os.
It starts with us walking in the presence of God.
Det handler om at starte med at vi vandrer i Guds herlighed.
That in our personal devotional times.
At i vores personlige tid med Gud.
In our homes.
Hjemme.
And if there's enough of you in your church, you get together as like-minded people at church.
Og hvis der nok er i jeres kirke, så kommer I sammen i kirken som.
You begin to seek and pray to God for revival, for His glory to come.
Så begynder I at søge Guds ansigt for at vækkelsen må komme.
It's great to do that together, but we can't always do it together.
Det er godt at gøre det sammen, men det kan ikke.
You've got to do it at home.
Du er nødt til at gøre det hjemme.
When I got saved, I began to learn it at home.
Da jeg blev frelst, så begyndte jeg at lære det her.
You have to understand, I come from a Methodist church.
Jeg kommer fra en metodistkirke.
That didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Som ikke troede på dåben i ånden.
There were had about 40 old ladies and men with fruity hats.
Der var 80 gamle damer og mænd med frugt i hatten.
And suddenly, in one day, over 30 16 17 year old rough criminal teenagers get saved.
Og pludselig på en dag, en aften, blev 30 unge kriminelle gutter.
And in that big mixing bowl of life called the church, God throws these poor old ladies with us young men.
Og den her mixing rørskål som kirken er, så kaster Gud de her unge eller ældre damer og også unge mænd sammen.
I would pick the grapes off the back of the lady's hat in front of me just to see if they were real, and she would slap me. Stop it, behave.
Jeg ville under mødet sidde og plukke druer af hatten på damen foran for at se om de var rigtige.
We didn't know any hymns.
Vi kendte ikke salmer.
We had no piano or worship. We had an old pipe organ.
Vi havde ingen klaver eller lovsang. Vi havde et pibeorgel.
And a hymn thing on the side. Like a little skilt.
Like a they hymn put thing?
A hymn where they put the hymn numbers.
Nå, salmenummer. Yeah. Selvfølgelig.
And we'd have these old books. We didn't have a clue.
Og så havde vi nogle gamle bøger. Vi anede ikke, hvad det var.
I remember the first hymn I remember singing in that church.
Den første hymne eller salme, jeg kan huske, jeg sang i den her kirke.
There is a fountain filled with blood.
Der er et springvand fuld af blod.
Drawn from Emmanuel's veins.
Som er trukken af Emmanuels åre.
And all the sinners that come are put beneath that flood.
Og alle synder der kommer vil puttes under den her flod.
They lose all their guilty stains.
Så mister de alle deres skyldige sprøjt.
I thought they were vampires.
Jeg troede det var vampyrer.
What the flipping heck kind of church is this?
Hvad er for slags kirke?
And me and my mates were like We put our collars up. They're not getting my neck. We thought they were vampires. They're singing about blood all the time.
De synger om blod hele tiden, de her gutter.
We had no idea.
Vi havde ingen anelse.
What they were talking about.
Om hvad de snakkede om.
Until they came to every in the service.
Indtil de kom til et punkt i gudstjenesten.
The minister would get up. Any hymn of your choice.
Så rejste prædikanten op og sagde, hvilken salme I vælger?
Now, yeah, a little bit of Welsh culture is this, because of the old revivals that happened.
En lille smule valisk kultur her, på grund af den gamle
we
vægelse.
We all know the hymn, some of the hymns.
Så vi alle sammen nogen af vægelsesangene.
Because we sing them at the rugby matches.
Fordi vi synger dem til rugbykampene.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, is my favorite one.
That one.
Bread of heaven. They still sing them today.
De synger stadig de her rigtig, rigtig gamle.
You watch Wales play rugby on TV in next month in the World Cup, they'll sing Bread of Heaven.
Se Wales synge spille rugby næste måned i VM, så vil du høre dem synge Brød fra himlen.
Now we had found out in these hymn books what the numbers were for those hymns. So we would yeah, we'd shout it out so the old ladies couldn't get there first.
Så nu har vi fundet ud af hvilke numre i salmebogen de her sange havde, så vi råbte numrene op inden det.
And for us it was fantastic.
Og for os var det fantastisk.
These hymns we'd sung drunk in the rugby club.
De her hymner vi havde sunget fulde i rugbyklubben.
They now made sense to us and we're singing them to God, but we know them, so we would sing loudly at the top of our voices like we were shouting against the English.
Nu gav det lige pludselig mening.
In a war.
Nu gav det lige pludselig mening, altså vi forstod hvad vi sang lige pludselig. Og vi ville synge så højt så, som om vi var imod engelskmænd.
Now you got to understand this. Very quickly within 3 months that youth group grew from 30 to 400.
Og forstår det her, at i løbet af nogle få måneder så voksede den her ungdomsgruppe fra 30
those
til 400.
Those poor old ladies.
De her stakkels gamle damer.
We would be singing at the top of our lungs to Jesus.
Vi sang af vores lungers fulde røst til Jesus.
I was awesome.
Det var fantastisk.
It was fantastic. And when we went home, I learned to play the guitar.
Og når vi tog hjem, så lærte jeg at spille guitar.
And I took the hymn book with me.
Og jeg tog salmebogen med mig.
With the notes in.
Med notaterne i.
So with the chords, so I could sing at home.
Så jeg kunne synge derhjemme.
And every night before I went to bed, I get the guitar and I practice and I just sing those hymns.
Og hver aften inden jeg gik i seng, så sang jeg sange til Gud og øvede mig og sang sange.
You don't need the latest equipment and music when the presence of God is around.
Du behøver ikke det seneste musikudstyr, når Guds herlighed er i.
Now it's great to have it if you got it.
Det er fantastisk at have det hvis du har det.
But if God's in the house, that's what's the attraction.
Men hvis Gud er i huset, så er det.
I'm talking about 16-17-year-old tough guys.
Jeg snakker her om 16-17-årige seje gutter.
Singing the praises of Jesus at the top of their lungs with an old lady on this pipe organ, som and the other guy going like this by the side of it.
Som priser Herren af sin lunger fuld kraft mellem en gammel dame, hun sidder ved pibeorglet og hammer.
We couldn't wait to get to church.
Vi kunne ikke vente med at komme
til kirke. We would be queuing up an hour before the doors opened, sun or rain, to get to church.
Vi stod i kø en time før dørene åbnede bare for at komme i kirke.
In the youth meeting, I remember getting on that organ and trying to play rock and roll on that thing. It didn't work, but I tried it.
Jeg tog op og spille rock and roll. Det lykkedes ikke.
Used to drive him mad.
Yeah. De blev skøre her mig rundt.
We found out that there was wine in the cupboard there for communion.
Vi fandt ud af, at der var vin i skabet til nadveren.
So one youth meeting, we drank it all.
Så tog vi det hele.
5 liters of it.
5 liter.
We all had bad stomachs afterwards.
Vi fik dårlig mave alle sammen.
It was non-alcoholic.
Det var ikke alkohol. Det var alkoholfri vin.
But it made us sick because we drank so much of it.
Så vi blev syge af at drikke for meget af det.
It caused a lot of problems in church.
Det skabte en helt lille problem i kirken.
But they loved it.
Men de elskede det.
Because the presence of God was there.
For Guds nærvær var der.
God the local vicar came.
Den lokale præst.
See, the setup was this, that you had one vicar for like 10 churches. Yeah. And each church had a lay minister.
Ja, der var en leder for 10 kirker, og så havde hver kirke sin pastor. Som var ikke
lærer. He preached from the pulpit of our church one Sunday night.
Og den her lærte præst, han talte for vores talestol en aften.
That Satan doesn't exist, he's just a fairy tale.
At Satan eksisterer ikke, han er kun et eventyr.
We started throwing the hymn books at him.
Så begyndte vi at smide med salmebøger efter ham.
3 of the boys go up to him and ruffle him and say, get out, and grabbed him out the pulpit and threw him out the church.
Og 3 af fyrene gik op til ham og smed ham ud af kirken.
The old people were terrified. You can't do that, he's the vicar.
Og de gamle damer blev skrækslagne, fordi det er jo præsten.
He's preaching rubbish.
Men han
it's lies.
Han prækker jo løgn, siger vi.
I remember Budgie, my mate, looking him in the eye, said, I'll show you if there's the devil or not. Come here.
Og Budgie, min ven, han han sagde til den her præst, lad mig vise dig, at djævlen findes.
He went in his car, screaming down the road.
Og han drønte ud i sin bil og skreg ned ad gaden.
But he came back the next week.
Han kom tilbage næste uge.
He had a meeting with some of the leaders of the church.
Han havde haft et møde med lederne i kirken.
What is happening here?
Hvad er det, der sker her?
Because we cannot deny there it's an old church. The church was built over 100 years ago, but it's full of young people.
Vi kan ikke nægte, at det her er en gammel kirke, den er bygget for over 100 år siden, men den er fyldt af unge mennesker.
He got saved that day.
Og han blev frelst den dag.
The following week in our prayer meeting, we all got round him and prayed, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Ugen efter på bønnemødet, der var han med, at vi samlede alle sammen omkring ham og bad for ham, han blev døbt i ånden, og det gjorde han.
We became great friends with him. He loved it. I mean, hundreds of young people in the church.
Og vi blev faktisk fantastiske venner med den her mand. Han elskede at være der, fordi der var hundredvis af unge i kirken.
He got so on fire.
Han kom så meget i brand.
He knew there was something special happening there.
Og han vidste, der var ved at ske noget specielt for
jer. The presence of God.
Det var Guds nærvær.
The glory of God.
Guds herlighed.
Kabod is what you feel.
Kabod er det du mærker.
And I assume every one of us at some level has felt that.
Og vi har nok alle sammen på et eller andet niveau mærket det her.
Have felt the beauty of His holiness in our lives.
Og mærket Guds ynde i vores, af hans herlighed i
and how much we would love to live in that.
Hvor meget vi ønsker at leve i det hver dag.
Well, the Bible says God designed us to live in that.
Men Bibelen fortæller faktisk, at vi er designet til at leve i det.
There's a great verse in Psalm 65 that says God wants us to live in His glory.
Og Salme 65 siger, at Gud ønsker, at vi skal leve i hans
that
herlighed.
That He calls us into His presence.
At han kalder sig ind i hans nærvær.
Jesus made it possible on the cross.
Gud gjorde det muligt for os på korset.
For us to boldly come into the presence of our Father without fear.
For at frimodigt komme ind i Guds faders nærvær uden frygt.
With confidence.
Med frimodighed.
Because our sins are separated from
Fordi
us now.
Vores synd er adskilt fra os nu.
Our bodies are still what's the word I'm looking for? Unholified is what we're
vores krop er stadigvæk uhellige.
Yeah, there's a word for it. It's what glorified is the word. The Bible says that when we are raptured, our bodies are glorified, are made perfect.
Vores krop er endnu ikke helliggjort.
Our bodies still have we have to fight against the things of the flesh.
Der er stadigvæk en kamp mod kødet i vores krop.
Yeah, our spirit and our soul, they have been glorified. We have been justified. We are holy people.
Vores ånd og vores sjæl er allerede helliggjort.
We are sons of God.
Vi er Guds sønner.
We are heirs of Christ.
Vi er arvinger af Kristus.
But this body still needs to be glorified.
Men kroppen halter efter.
And that's the sanctification that we go through.
Og det er den helliggørelse, vi går igennem.
So we have to get this body used to being in His presence.
Så vi er nødt til at få vores krop gjort vant til at være i hans nærvær.
As teenagers,
som teenager,
we the thing we would love the most.
Så var det vi elskede mest.
Why we went to church? Why we would queue up in the rain for an hour?
Hvorfor vi gik til kirke? Hvorfor vi stod ude i regnen og ventede en time for at kunne komme ind?
Was the presence?
Var nærværet?
We'd want to get in it.
Vi ønsker at komme ind i det.
And then when we worshipped, it got stronger.
Og når vi lovsang, så blev det stærkere.
And there'd be times where we couldn't hardly breathe. There'd be silence. We'd be flat out prostrate before God on the floor.
Og der var tidspunkter, hvor vi knap kunne ånde, trække vejret. Vi lå bare fladt på gulvet i stilhed foran Gud.
And we come out.
Og vi kom ud.
But we take that with us.
Men vi tog det med os.
I came home one night after a very powerful meeting in our church.
Jeg kom hjem en aften efter et meget, meget stærkt møde i kirken.
My mother was doing the ironing.
Mor stod og strøg.
In the living room, and my sister and two brothers was there.
Og min søster og mine to brødre var der.
And I just walked in, sat down.
Kom ind og sat mig ned.
And immediately the three of them just attacked me.
Og straks så angreb de tre mig.
Oh, you Christians, you make me sick. There's no God, and my sister was going, my two brothers were going.
Åh, I kristne, I gør mig syg. Jeg findes ingen Gud, og både min søster og min brødre var efter mig.
I got so angry.
Og jeg blev så gal.
I beat the three of them up.
Jeg smadrede dem.
I jumped on, I started punching them. There is a God. Don't tell me there's no God.
Der er en Gud. Sig ikke, der ikke er en Gud.
And my mother just calmly was doing the ironing. And she just said, "You were going to be a preacher."
Du blev prædikant på et tidspunkt.
And after they just led there and crying,
og efter når de bare lå der på gulvet,
I just prayed, "God, show them Your glory."
Så bad jeg, Gud vis dig din herlighed.
Martin, my younger brother, he ran out, scared.
Og Martin, min yngste bror, han løb skræmt ud.
My elder brother, he just sat there very quietly.
Min ældre bror, han sad bare helt stille.
My sister, God touched her.
Og min søster,
she went and locked herself in the toilet and cried.
Gud ved, og hun låste sig selv inde på toilettet.
She wasn't crying because I'd hit her.
Hun græd ikke fordi jeg havde slået
hende. You gotta see my sisters, man. They they knock you
out. Mine søster, de er store, de slår dig ud.
Man, they're like orcs from Lord of the Rings, you know.
De ser ud som orkerne fra Herren.
Mean and ugly, oh my goodness. But God touched her.
Men Gud, han rørte ved hende.
And my mother knew something was happening.
Og Gud, min mor vidste, at der var noget, der
It
var
wasn't what I said.
Det var ikke det, jeg sagde.
It was the presence of God.
Det var Guds nærvær.
Now you might think, oh, would God do that with not violence?
Og du tænker måske, oh, vil Gud gøre det med så meget vold?
I don't know, but he did.
Det ved jeg ikke, men det gjorde han.
I mean, what was God doing when Jesus drove and beat those people out of the temple?
Hvad var det, Jesus? Hvad var det, Gud gjorde, da Jesus han drev?
Says he made a whip and he whipped them out.
Han lavede en pisk og drev
dem ud. He overflew the table. I mean, that was violent.
Det var voldsomt.
He made his point. I made my they never argued with me again that there wasn't a God.
Jeg viste bare min pointe. De argumenterede aldrig med mig igen.
I was so passionate.
Jeg var passioneret.
Theologically wrong.
Teologisk
I was only just saved.
Jeg var kun lige blevet frelst.
We used to take people beaten up to church.
Vi plejede at tæske folk for at komme med i kirken.
Dean Ford, he became a good mate of mine, but he would make fun of me. I'd have to walk past his house every day go to church.
Dean, han gjorde grin med mig, fordi jeg gik forbi hans hus hver eneste dag for at komme
til kirken. And he would make it his personal mission to come out on his gate and make fun of me as I went past.
Og han gjorde det til personlig mission, at hver dag, når jeg gik til kirken, kom ud til
kirken. Oh, another Bible bash, you're going to church again, or you get brainwashed.
Og du der bibelfreak, nu går du til kirken igen for at blive hjernevasket.
So one day I just got so angry I jumped over the fence, punched him, gave him two black eyes and dragged him to church with me.
On day så blev jeg sur, så jeg hoppede over hegnet, gav ham to blå øjne og trak ham med.
I took him into church and you sit there, you move and I'll kill you.
Så siger du sit ned, du bliver siddende, hvis du bevæger dig, så slår jeg dig ihjel.
Howell the pastor just looked at me and said, Wayne, we don't evangelize that way.
Og Howell min pastor siger, Wayne, vi evangeliserer ikke på den måde.
We were so passionate for God.
Vi var så passionerede for Gud.
It was persecution, but in the opposite way.
Det var modsat forfølgelse.
They were funny days.
Det var sjove dage.
Dean got saved.
Dean, han blev frelst.
Dean went to the Navy.
Han kom ind i søværnet.
And have you ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down?
Har du set filmen Black Hawk Down?
He was in the base there in Mogadishu doing the radio communication between the Americans, the Pakistanis and the British.
Han var på basen i Mogadishu på det her tidspunkt og var med i som forbindelsesofficer i kommunikations.
And you won't hear this in the movie.
Og du hører ikke det her i filmen.
But when he heard the men that were dying, 19 American soldiers died there.
Men da han hørte de her 19 amerikanske mænd dø der.
Over the an open frequency on the radio so that the Mogadishans and the Americans and all the people could hear on their radios.
Og det her det foregik på en åben radiofrekvens, så alle kunne høre hvad der skete.
He starts praying.
Så begynder han at bede.
For God to bring peace to this situation.
For at Gud han skal bringe fred til den her situation.
And it changed many of those soldiers' lives.
Og mange af de her soldaters liv.
You don't hear about that in the movies.
Det hører man ikke om i filmen.
But it happened.
Men det skete.
He was there and he was the one praying for it.
Og det var han, incredible. Det skete.
Anyway, the levels.
Niveauerne.
My ambition with the glory of God is this.
Min ambition med Guds herlighed er det her.
That in my personal walk I can get to such a depth of God.
At jeg i min personlige vandring kan komme til en sådan dyb med Gud.
That I just walk past someone in need.
At jeg når jeg vandrer forbi nogen der har et behov.
And my shadow touch them.
Og min skygge rører dem.
And boom, God does something in their lives.
Og Gud han kommer til at gøre noget i deres liv.
Can you imagine that?
Kan du forestille dig det?
That wherever we walk.
At uanset hvor vi
går. We don't even need to pray for people anymore. It just happens.
Vi behøver ikke at bede for mennesker.
Like in the book of Acts.
Som i Apostlenes Gerninger.
God will break out across these towns and villages here on Sjælland.
Gud han brød ud over de her byer og de her steder i.
To the point where the glory of God lives constantly in Ringsted, in Roskilde, in wherever we're from.
Guds herlighed kommer til at bo permanent i Roskilde, i Ringsted, uanset hvor vi er fra.
What a powerful. Try and come into our island and tell me God doesn't exist.
Forsøg at komme ind på min ø og fortælle mig at Gud han ikke eksisterer.
I'll close with this story before we have lunch.
Jeg skal lukke den her historie før vi får
lunch. In the 1904 revival in Wales.
I 1904 vækkelsen i Wales.
It was well known for its geographical area.
Så var det kendt for sin geografiske koncentration.
The glory of God was only manifest, could only be felt in the country of Wales.
Guds herlighed kunne kun mærkes i landet Wales.
There's a famous story of all the reporters came and stood 1 meter from the border in England.
Der findes en kendt historie om hvordan reporterne, journalisterne kom.
In a town called Hereford.
Stod 1 meter fra grænsen i Hereford i England.
And there was a famous atheist.
Og en kendt ateist.
That they were reporting on, and he was stood boasting how God doesn't exist and blah 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 blah.
Og de rapporterede om den her mand, og han stod og udfoldede sig om hvordan Gud han ikke eksisterede.
He said, "I'm going to prove that this revival they say that's going on in Wales is rubbish."
Og jeg skal vise jer, at den her vækkelse, som de siger der foregår i Wales, det er fisk.
And they're all there.
Og de var der alle sammen.
The writing reporters, the radio, everybody.
Journalisterne, radiojournalister.
And he takes a few steps, and as he steps 1 meter over the border into Wales,
og han tager nogle få skridt, og han går over grænsen ind i Wales.
He fell to his face.
Så falder han på
on the
ansigte,
floor, screaming in agony.
Skrigende i smerte.
After 5 minutes, he tried to drag himself back into England.
Efter 5 minutter så forsøger han at trække sig selv tilbage.
He lost a lot of his nails. There was blood from his fingers.
Tabte masse negle på det her, blod fra hans fingre.
On the road.
På vejen der.
He finally got over the border.
Og kommer så til slut over
grænsen. We're just talking about a line.
Det her, det er bare en grænse.
And when he got back into England, he got back up into his right mind and disappeared and was never heard from again.
Og da han kommer tilbage ind i England, så rejser han sig op, kommer pludselig til sin sanser igen og forsvinder, og vi hører aldrig om ham igen.
In the London Times newspaper, you can still read it if you go on the internet. It reported this.
London Times avisen rapporterede på den her måde. Du kan stadig læse det på nettet.
I guess he was wrong, and God must exist in Wales.
Så går ud fra, at han havde fejl, og at Gud han eksisterer faktisk i Wales.
The glory of God.
Guds herlighed.
The glory of God.
Guds herlighed.
God designed us to live in it.
Gud designede os til at leve i det.
We lost it.
Vi mistede det.
But Jesus.
Men Jesus.
Brought it all back on the cross.
Bragte det tilbage på korset.
So after the lunch, we're going to look at. Shekinah.
Og efter frokost så skal vi kigge på Shekinah.
Another word for glory.
Et andet ord for herlighed.
Amen.
Amen.